standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God.
You may be seated. So our scripture today is from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we shall be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of the man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So I ended up calling this hearing and doing the word. It's one thing for us to hear. It's another thing for us to do something about it. So he says at the beginning part of this scripture that all the gifts that come from God are good. The next thing he talks about is things that we should do to help us to be better people. And the first things he talks about is we should be quick to hear. Now, I think that hear is not the best word for there, but that's what he put in the scripture, the way it was translated, so that's what I used. I think a better word is to listen. Because we hear stuff around us all the time. How many of you guys notice when a train comes by, even when we're in the sanctuary? And we live about 3 blocks from the same train tracks in Yorktown. And so after a while, you get to where you really don't kind of notice them because they come by all the time. Now, we haven't had our windows open for a while because it's been so warm. But in the fall, when we first open the windows, it seems like there's a train coming by every 5 minutes because you just hear them more. And so for us, it's not so much hearing, it's about listening. Now, I told Rick this morning I was trying to find a CD of mine. It's Don McLean, it's Bye Bye Miss American Pie. It's real old, it's been done by different people. And I have a test that goes with it. And so for you that remember it, there's a few questions I always ask after we listen to like a minute of it. Where did they drive to? Does anybody remember? Pulevi. And what'd they drive in? The Chevy. And it was dry. If you listen to that, and I did a test on this, I would do it for my staff, we would listen to a little over a minute of that song. And it didn't matter their age, because it's been redone several times. Madonna did it one time, and I don't know who all's done it. And I had 10 questions I asked them. And everybody said, oh yeah, I've heard that. And then on average, they would get about 6 to 7 of them right. And the problem is, and the first time I heard somebody do this, he said, you go back to the first summer you heard it, you're thinking about a date that you had, your mind's wandering all over the place, and you're not really paying attention. And then somebody asks you a question, you go, well, how could I not know that? I've heard it a zillion times on the radio, or I've got the CD or the cassette, or put it on whatever electronic device you put it on. It's not sold that could be on 8 tracks, as we were talking about earlier today. For you, I can remember 8 tracks. But we hear that, but we don't always listen and pay attention. And so I think listening is more important than hearing. And for us to be able to see what someone's life is going on, to be able to understand maybe what they want to talk to us about, we can't just hear, we have to listen. So when they're speaking, we can't be thinking about what we want to tell them or the next thing we want to say. We have to be really listening to them. And so I would say listening is the hardest part of this, because we want to think about that next thing we want to say. He talks about being slow to speak. Well, it's hard to listen to somebody if you're trying to talk over them, if you're already thinking about what you're going to say. And so his suggestion is, you don't have to be the first one that talks. Let the other person talk. Now, this is where I was going to use my interaction with the guy from, that guy actually went to the Compass yesterday that I was talking to, because I could have probably found out how the community feels about me then. I just didn't think I should do it that way, and I needed to tell him who I was before that went on very long. So I let him talk as long as I thought it was safe, but when I wasn't sure whether it was safe or not, I needed to make sure he knew who I was before he said anything that either A, I was going to like to hear and probably didn't need to hear it, or B, didn't really want to hear but was going to hear it. And so either way, I just needed to make sure anything he wanted to share after that, he knew who all of us were, who all the parties in the conversation were. And so when is that right time to speak, and when is the time just to listen? And so his suggestion is to listen, to take that time listening and not be in such a hurry to talk, to tell everybody what you know, to share. And then the last thing of these three says, be slow to anger. Now, how many times have you guys ever been with somebody and they said or did something and it was like they turned on your anger switch where you just instantly went like this? Now, the one time I remember most, which is the least important thing that I've ever done, is I was coaching one of the girls' baseball games. And there was a play at first base that I didn't think was called very well, but I didn't say anything until I walked back across the field to go to the third baseline. And I said, as I passed, I said, you know, I thought that she beat the play. And the umpire turned to me and said, you're just complaining about, she started talking about something that happened 3 weeks ago that I had long since forgotten. And I thought, okay, now let's chat. So I turn around to go back because I'm really not done talking about it now. And the other coach said, let it go, walk to the other side. And I looked at him, I said, I'm not quite ready to let it go. He said, you really need to let this one go. So I did. Clearly, I haven't let it go because I can remember that just like that. She instantaneously made me mad, and it was really over nothing. And sometimes we get mad over big things. But that anger thing isn't always about the most important thing. It's about something that is triggered in you, whatever that is. And what his suggestion is, don't be in a hurry to get to that angry point. Because really, in the big scheme of things, whether she was out at first or not, it didn't really matter, right? Well, it mattered to me at that time, or I wouldn't have brought it up when I walked back across the field. But in the big scheme of things, it didn't matter. And so we need to be careful. We need to take our time and not be in a rush to become angry. Then he goes on to say, it's not just about hearing what God is asking us to do. It's about doing it. And his suggestion in this is, by listening to what God is asking us to do, and to ponder it, to think about it, we end up with a better idea of where we're really at in our own lives. So somebody, Patty was telling me about, was it Patty went to a class reunion? Oh, Anita went to a class reunion. And I said, you know what? The thing I find the most interesting about class reunions is how old those people have gotten that you went to school with. Because I look in that mirror every single day and I don't change at all. Have any of you guys noticed that?
Yes.
It's not just my mirror, right? That's kind of what he's talking about here. If we just are kind of left on our own and we don't think about what God is telling us, listening to what he's saying to us, we kind of deceive ourselves into thinking we're still 18, or I think I told Anita she was 29 again the other day. 29 or whatever age it is, we seem to think that we're that every day. And the only time we really notice it is when you go to a class reunion or you run into a classmate and you don't recognize them because they have really gotten old. How did that happen? It's only been like 48 years. You'd think they'd be the same. But we can get that by listening to God and really finding out what God wants us to do and not be led astray by what we see. And then he talks about this perfect law, and what he's saying is it's really what God wants us to do, God's law, and how it's revealed to us. And God's law can be revealed to us in a lot of different ways. It can be needing to use the washer at the neighbor's house and then hearing her tell the story about how her prayer was answered because she was lonely. So I'm not saying that God broke the washer. I'm just going to use this as an example. She had talked about going to visit the neighbor, and maybe God had put that on her heart. And he's going, why will she just not walk across the street? Here, I'll fix that. And bang, the washer's broken. Now you have to go across the street. But we don't think of it in terms like that. Oh, well, it was an accident that we got there. Well, is it an accident? Or does God lead us those ways? And sometimes he has to push us or prod us or poke us or whatever a little more one time than the other. And so these proddings, this law from God, isn't to confine us, to not allow us to have a good time, but it's really to make us become the best. I said this one time in New Burlington, there's too many teachers there, the bestest person we can be. The mostest bestest, I think, was the phrase I used. And so it's to make us become better and better. It's not to harm us or restrict us, it's to make us become better people. And so this law that God gives us allows us to really become free. And so I'm going to use COVID. I'm going to use a friend of mine that he is so afraid of catching the disease, he literally stays at home all the time. He doesn't go any place. So he has basically been home for a year and a half. And I would say that's not free. I'm not telling him to run out and shake hands with every person he comes in contact, give him a big hug and kiss. But there's somewhere in between. You don't want to be so afraid that you can't enjoy life. So I'm going to use a food example. And so this is a story Benita told, so I'm giving credit where credit. We were with a group of people, and some of the ladies, I'm sure nobody here does this, some of the ladies were getting pretty small portions because they want to keep pretty thin. Some of them are pretty thin in this group. And she got whatever she got, and they said, are you going to eat the whole thing? And she goes, you bet I'm going to eat the whole thing, because you know what? At the end of the day, we're all going to die, and I'm not missing out on this meal. Because eating the half portion, you're still going to die at the end of the day, right? Okay? It's like, why do you eat pie first? Pardon? And you can, okay? So you would tell the boys they can't eat pie first. It's not true, okay? She is just trying to get you to eat the good things first. And you'll eat whatever the good things are to eat the dessert anyway, right? Right? We all do that. And the way I know this is true, I was at a dinner one time, Benita did this too, and we had this real fluffy, kind of really nice looking dessert, and the men were gone from the table and the ladies were there, and when we get back, they all start giggling. So we knew something happened, right? And I said, what were you guys doing? And she said, we were talking about, we wondered what the dessert was and what it tasted like. And she said to him, you know what, at my age, here's how you do it. She took her spoon, took a bite, tasted it. She goes, it's chocolate something. It is really good. And all the ladies took a bite. Okay? And so you can. And so I've kind of used these hilarious examples to say that's the freedom that God gives us. And we either do good with it or we don't do good with it. We can look around the world and see people that make bad decisions and don't do good. But that freedom allows us to do good. And the last part of this is that freedom allows us to help people in the communities. However you choose to do them. So I left the parking because I got to help my daughters because they were doing a dance last night in Indianapolis. And if I just fall asleep, we didn't get home till midnight, I am a little tired. And there's a guy walking into the reception building. He is not with our group. But we were hungry because we didn't have time between the afternoon part and the dinner. And we're thinking about going to the wedding. It was in a different part of the building. And so when you do that, if you're thinking about crashing the wedding, you need to make friends on the way in, okay? And as I'm going in, his coat collar is up like this. And I open the door. He's the last one, and I go, hey, your coat collar's up. You might want to turn it down. And I told the people at my table I did that. And they said, oh, that was nice. Why did you do that? I said, I'm hungry. I'm planning on going to the wedding later and eating. And I at least know this one guy. But we have these different ways that we can help to lead in service. And so we do things for the Muncie Mission. The Muncie Mission has a golf outing this week. I haven't heard recently, but I think it's pretty full. And I don't know exactly how they do the programs at the Muncie Mission as far as me being able to physically go in and help with that part, but I can help them raise money for a golf tournament. I know something about playing golf. I know people who play golf. And I know people who will give money to golf tournaments for good cause, and they'll do this. Whether it's money or prizes. Each of us has some gift or multiple gifts that God gave us in order to help people. And we are challenged to go out in our communities and provide that service. Could be leadership, could be money, could be time. There's a lot of different ways to do that, but in our communities. And communities doesn't always mean right here. Communities could be Indiana or the world. It's whatever God's leading us to do. Now, anytime I talk about James, there's always one thing I have to throw in. Sometimes people get confused on James because they think it's all about doing good things, and if you do enough good things in the world, you'll get into heaven. And so just let me be clear, that is not how this works. What you're really being asked to do is that by following what God is asking you to do, by allowing God to come into your life, that you will do these things because you're being led by the Lord. It's not, I'm going to do all these things and God's going to let me into heaven. That is not the way it works. And so I just want to put that out there because sometimes James is a little misleading that way. And what I would ask all of you to do is to think about how you're being led by the Lord and how the Lord wants you to go into the community and help with either service or whatever it is in the community that needs done. So that's long-term homework there, folks, okay? And just because you do one thing one time doesn't mean you might not get to do something else another time. And as long as you're less than 94 years old, you're eligible. Because I always use Moses' age as a barometer. So once you get to be 94, you can retire. But from 94 and under, you still have to work. Okay? Let us pray. Father, lead us and guide us in how you wish us to relate to those in our community that could use those special gifts that you have given to us, not to keep inside us, but to share with your world. Guide us and direct us in all we do. Amen.